Introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
It's Monday, baby! Yeah, we are going to kick off with the Financial Freedom Week. And man, if anybody has seen what has going on in the crypto space, it's just absolutely insane. I'm just going to tell you a quick little story before I start bringing on my guests. And just, you know, the crypto space is something that was very foreign to me. And, you know, the only thing I remember thinking about with it was, like, I would always get hit up in Messenger from these people about crypto. And then I saw, you know, my good friend Alex Elliott had made a post that she's starting this group and she's really big into education, no pitching or anything. And I was like, you know what? What the heck? I'm going to join this group and I'm going to educate myself. And my whole paradigm completely shifted. Like, once I joined this group and started really diving into what Alex was talking about, she made it easy for me to understand it. I felt more connected to it. And I said, you know, I got to get her on the podcast because this is something I think people really need to know. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to kind of kick off this Financial Freedom Week, talking about cryptocurrency, the future of it, what you need to know about it, just all the things that goes into crypto. And Alex is really going to kind of bring that clarity to the situation for you. So let me get into an intro here, tee up Alex, and we are going to bring her onto the show. Alex S. Elliott is a lead generation and copywriting expert and is the co-founder of the local digital marketing agency, Four Aces Leads. She has been featured on summits alongside Russell Brunson, John Lee Dumas, Mike Filsaime, Jim Edwards, Perry Marshall, Elena Cardone, Alex Sharfin, Catherine Jones, and Blake Newbar. Since we're talking crypto today, it's important to mention that Alex is also a Bitcoin maximalist, having made her first of many Bitcoin purchases in 2013, which is amazing. Think about getting in Bitcoin in 2013 just for a second. And in addition to running her digital marketing agency, Alex helps her friends earn cryptocurrency passively with her free and super informative and supportive Facebook group, the Crypto Chill Lounge. And without further ado, I welcome to the show Alex S. Elliott. Alex, what is happening?
What's going on? It's so good to be here with you, Jake.
Yeah.
We go back a little bit, right? We have a little bit of history, which is really awesome. We're like internet friends, and it's so fantastic. It's been amazing to watch you and your podcast grow. It's just been exciting. So I'm really glad to finally be a guest on your podcast
and
be here with you.
I appreciate that. I remember we had first met actually like in 3D at Funnel Hacking
That's
Live.
That's right. We met at Funnel Hacking Live. Yeah. That is correct.
And you were the first person.
That's like a whir, like just a big blur to me.
Yeah, it was funny because I remember I was driving down. I live in Virginia, so Nashville is like a 6-hour drive. And you were having some kind of meetup at the, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. And you had a meetup. And I'm like, you know, dangerously driving, looking at my phone. I'm just kidding. I wasn't doing that. But I think I was kind of like at a stoplight or something. And you were going live. And I guess you saw me. You're like, Jake, get over here. And you're like, so I came in.
Come on down.
Yeah. So I came in. You were the first person I met at Funnel Hacking Live. Very first person.
And that's something.
Yeah.
Cool. What a great story. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was an amazing time. That was life before pandemic, wasn't it? Like when we were all able to get together and do things. Yeah.
I know.
Crazy.
I know.
I look forward to getting back to it.
Yeah. Same here. And you're in Spain now, right? So you've moved to Europe. And now how is life in Spain? And
I don't want to say too much. I don't want to make anybody jealous. It's very calm and chill, and it's very nice. So it feels a little bit like we exited the rat race, which is very nice. I have never lived in such a small town in my whole life. We live in a incy weensy little seaside village. There's 5,100 inhabitants. Feels like 51 sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's this small little, there's a medieval monastery that we stare at like out our window. There's like the Mediterranean out our window. It's beautiful. It's just very calm and lovely. And we work from home, so that's helpful. The pandemic kind of pushed us to just like seize our dreams and go for it and live in the moment. Awesome. And, you know, so
that's awesome.
We took that opportunity. Yeah.
And I've seen photos of your view. It's really, it's very mm-hmm. beautiful. You certainly have yes. that nice serene feel there. So yeah. We're going to talk about crypto today.
Yeah.
And that's the talk on the street right now. I mean, what is, like, first off, this is the thing I want to kick off with, because
yeah.
I remember, I guess it was 2000, was it 2016 when it just really started? I think it was 2016.
It was 2016 into 2017, right? 2017 is where you had that really, like, just psycho run up. But I think there were probably rumblings in the wider kind of mainstream starting in 2016. I mean, Bitcoin's been around since, I think, 2009 was when it was first, when Satoshi Nakamoto first introduced Bitcoin. I believe it was 2009. Someone can correct me. But so it's been around a while. But it was kind of like nerdy internet funny money for a good long time. And, mm-hmm. and nobody really paid it any mind, right? Nobody paid any attention except for the geeks and the nerds and whatever. Until about 2016, 2017, when it really broke through into mainstream consciousness. So people started paying attention.
What, I mean, is that what caused it to break? Because it seemed like in 2016 and 2017, you had that massive uproar. And then mm-hmm. it came back. Mm-hmm. And then people, mm-hmm. I remember, like, at least in conversations, people were like, oh, it's not going to make it. I think it got down mm-hmm. to like 6,000 a coin or something like that. Or
got down into the 3,000s.
Or threes, yeah. So it really fell. Yeah. And now it's like, Didn't it crest 60,000 recently?
61. Yeah.
61.
Yeah. It was 61 and change. So $1,000. And we're definitely not done with this bull run just yet. So, you know, I would definitely not be surprised to see Bitcoin in the six figures before this year is over.
Wow.
I'm in full confidence of that. So one thing to know about Bitcoin is, if it is anything, it is volatile, meaning, you know, you're going to see ups and downs and all around. You know, people are always asking me, is now a good time to get into Bitcoin? And, you know, that answer is, it's always a good time to get into Bitcoin. It will always, you know, the its price appreciation, as if you will, is sort of pre-programmed in due to its scarcity. And so because of its scarcity, we know from the laws of supply and demand, right? Mm-hmm. You know, an item like, for example, gold or something else that is scarce but desired, right? What ends up happening is the price goes up. And so you have a lot of those dynamics sort of pre-programmed into the code of Bitcoin. And so while it will be volatile in the short term, and there will be lots of spikes and dips and that sort of thing, and one day you'll hear about it being 61,000, the next day it'll be 40,000, right? So it'll bop around. But while it does that, it actually, if you pan out and you look at it instead of on a linear scale, you look at it on a logarithmic scale, right? You can look at things sort of over time mm-hmm. or kind of quite compressed. And if you look at it on a logarithmic scale, it's almost like a metronome. It's very beautiful. It's up and then slightly down and then up and then slightly down and then up and slightly down. But what you always notice is that the baseline always goes up. The baseline always goes up. And therefore, short-term price action is really just noise. It's not signal. It's not, you know, it doesn't really matter. What matters is getting in.
Yeah. And I think that for people who are, and I want to bring this to the table here as far as like how to get in into Bitcoin, because I had, because in your Facebook group, and I'm just going to put a quick plug here, like go join the Crypto Chill Lounge for the listeners here.
Thank you.
Definitely go join that Facebook group, because it is, like, Alex has went, I mean, I feel like I should be giving you money right now like for being in it. I mean, seriously, like, it's got so much. I mean, it's like a mastermind, like, full blown out program.
I've tried to make it like a, like, I hope people come in. And I really, it's funny. I have people say to me, they're like, this is like the first group I check in the morning and like the last group I check before I go to bed, 'cause I don't want to miss anything. And you're dropping so much education and all this stuff. I'm really trying to make it so that people can come in a dead noob, like a complete dead noob and not have any idea what the heck is going on, and yet really engage with all the material in a chronological way, you know, in the guide section that we have set up, and really emerge from that experience, you know, 30, 60 days later, feeling really confident, like they really understand what's going on, and confident enough and convinced enough really that this is what they'd like to, you know, at least have some exposure to, some investment in, mm-hmm. for their future, right?
Well, Absolutely. And one of the things in that group, and there was a video I watched, and the reason I wanted to bring this up, because we were talking about, just get started, like kind of get into it. And I remember watching this video and I felt like it really eased my mind. And I wanted to bring this to the conversation and just have a quick chat about it, because I think there's probably people listening too now. It's like, yeah, but it's so volatile and I don't really, I feel kind of emotional right now about getting into Bitcoin, whether it be on the fear side or the greed side. And I remember, and I'm trying to remember, it was the, you help me out with this term here, average day pricing, I think, or costing.
Oh, dollar cost averaging.
I got like three of the words or two of the words, right?
That's
dollar
right. cost averaging.
I knew it was, I understand the concept of it. And I remember you had, or maybe you posted in the feed and you posted this video and the guy did a really good job of breaking down dollar cost averaging. And when I looked at it like that, I was like, okay, thinking about it, like from this perspective makes it more comfortable for me to like start investing into Bitcoin and having the right perception of it. So would you mind kind of sharing
I can break that down.
Down for everybody so they kind of understand.
So I'll give you a really personal example if you don't mind. So right now I have got a dollar cost averaging plan set up for myself. And so just real quick what that is. When you dollar cost average into something, what that means is you are constantly exposing yourself to the price action of the asset, right? So what I'm doing is I have an automated system set up. It's very simple, took like 10 minutes to set up. An automated buy system where literally every single day, no matter the price, I don't care if it's at the moon or down in the toilet or somewhere in between, every single day, I buy a little bit of Bitcoin. Now, what does that do for my cost over time? It normalizes it. It brings it down because I'm catching it everywhere. I'm catching it up. I'm catching it down. I'm catching it medium, Goldilocks, like the whole thing. I'm catching it everywhere. Mm-hmm. So what it means is I'm just sort of tracking and I'm not affected by the price. I'm just getting exposure to the asset. And when we know that on the logarithmic scale, all it's doing is very, very almost like a metronome, just going up, 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 up. It just means that as I'm able over time, I'm just getting more and more exposure to this asset that is constantly over time appreciating, right? There may be like short-term price action, totally unaffected, totally doesn't matter. Like that's not important because I don't plan on selling, right? Like, people always ask like, what's your exit strategy? Like Bitcoin is the exit strategy.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to re-enter fiat, right? Mm-hmm. Fiat is actually, I was listening to billionaire Michael Saylor speak the other day, and he said that, cash, due to the fact that, inflation and different pressures, and we've seen, just massive amounts of money printed in the last 12 months due to the pandemic, because of those inflationary pressures and massive money printing, the value of the US dollar is losing about 15% a year. Let me just like stop. 15% a year. So what that means is to just break even, you need to have an asset that is producing 15% return every year to just to tread water, just to stay where you are, right? So that being the case, I don't know a single bank account that's giving 15% yield. I don't know a job that's giving you a 15% raise every year. I don't know. So just to stay alive and keep where you are, you're needing to beat inflation because of the excessive money printing. I mean, we've had in the last 12 months, 22% of the entire money supply of the USD has been printed, right? We have a serious money printing problem going on right now. Yeah. So because of that, your dollars are actually worth less. You've probably noticed things are starting to get more expensive at the grocery store. They're starting to get more expensive at the hardware store. That's inflation, right? Mm-hmm. What happens is you need an asset that's going to beat that, right? Like you need to make sure you have a savings asset that's going to beat that. And the compound annual growth rate, frequently known as the CAGR, the 10-year CAGR or compound annual growth rate for Bitcoin is 200%+ over the last 10 years. It has yielded 200%+ over the last 10 years consistently. There's not a single asset on earth that's performed that well over the last 10-year period. And so when I say like a metronome, it just goes up. That's what I mean. It's reflected in that CAGR. Yeah. So, I like taking my chances at 200% a year to beat inflation of 15%. I don't like my dollar, you know, because what's happening is at the same time that Bitcoin's doing 200% a year, my dollars are losing 15% a year. Yeah. So you understand that I like to take as many of my dollars as humanly possible and put them in this asset, no matter how volatile it is in the short term, that's going to appreciate, right? So that's where I'm at.
Well,
that makes sense.
And because it makes total sense. And the gap is increasing over time between.
Correct.
So one of the things I want to ask about with in conjunction to this, right? Mm-hmm. Because we think about Bitcoin as, I guess there's two ways of looking at Bitcoin, right? It's a currency. You can use it to buy things with.
But it's
also an investment, right? It's an investment.
It's a store of value. Yeah, it's called store of value.
Yep. Store of value, right? So do you see, like, and let's just kind of like take a looking glass into the future for a second, mm-hmm, because I think this is really interesting that we have such devaluation in the dollar, and at the same time, you see such aggressive appreciation of Bitcoin, mm-hmm, and then that gap is getting wider. Does there come a point where the gap gets so wide that, I mean, I wonder, and you're right about just the printing of the money of the US dollar has been out of freaking control.
Yeah.
And it's been out of control.
And what it does is it punishes savers. It punishes savers, because what ends up happening is all your savings are devaluing rapidly. And it increases consumerism, because your dollars are going to be worth less tomorrow. So you might as well like spend them and get what you can for them now. Right.
Yeah.
It just stimulates the economy, but it punishes savers.
Yeah. Which is really sad. I mean,
that's why we're having the conversation.
Right?
Absolutely. Bitcoin is deflationary. Very slightly inflationary, and in that it's going to inflate until it reaches max supply, but it is a fixed supply asset. And therefore there will never be more than 21 million Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's pre-programmed in the code. And that's what makes it such an incredible store of value, because the government can't print more of it, right? Mm. They can't devalue your Bitcoin. And so all the capital markets are freaking out about the excessive printing of money, the excessive inflationary pressures, and they're fleeing into Bitcoin for safety, similar to how people in the past have fled into gold for safety, right?
Yeah.
At times of high inflationary pressure on their local currency, the Weimar Republic, the German Denmark, or the Deutschmark, times in our own U.S. history that's happened. So we've seen this before.
So let's just fast forward a clock. 20 years from now.
Yeah, you're talking about the future. Exactly.
Yeah,
this is an interesting conversation.
Let's just fast forward. Let's just say it's 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 30. Let's just say there's it's down the road, right? Where things have really changed. What does the world look like to you? Like, how does the world look
such
like?
Such an interesting question. The world, here's what I know. A lot of things I don't know. And I think it's really important to admit there's so much we don't know. But what I do know is this. I know that governments are already investigating how to hold Bitcoin. Central banks are already discussing how to hold Bitcoin. They see their writing on the wall. They want Bitcoin in their reserves, similar to how gold has been held in reserves. Silver has been held in reserves. They too want Bitcoin in their reserves, right? Because they get it. They see it. You have Morgan Stanley that's just announced a Bitcoin fund. You have Goldman Sachs. Fidelity this morning announced a Bitcoin fund. They're all New York Mellon Bank, the oldest bank in the U.S., just announced a Bitcoin fund. So massive institutions, sovereign wealth funds, governments, pension funds, endowments, family offices, you name it, are rushing to get exposure to Bitcoin. So what I know is there is massive demand, both on the retail and corporate and institutional side, government side, and there is fixed supply. So what I know about the laws of economics are that when there's fixed supply and increasing demand, you will see a tremendous upwards price pressure, right? You will see a tremendous escalation or appreciation of the asset price. So, you know, it's funny. We just printed $1.9 trillion in money and gave it out to the American public. I believe now there are discussions for another $3 trillion in spending, to stimulate the economy. The Bitcoin market cap is only $1 trillion. it's a tiny fraction of that, you know, 5 trillion that I just mentioned, 3 trillion plus 1.9, right? We're almost at 5 trillion here. Bitcoin market cap is only 1 trillion. We're so early. There's so much capital that is going to flee into Bitcoin. So we are looking at unbelievable price appreciation ahead of us. I have a feeling that a year from now, we're going to revisit this conversation and crack up that we were able to get Bitcoin for, you know, $50,000 around this time for whatever. $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. It's really not going to matter where we're headed. We're headed somewhere really fantastic with Bitcoin. And part of the reason I am such a massive sort of, you know, I'll grab anybody who walks by to talk to them about Bitcoin, right? Like, I want everybody to know. Part of the reason I'm so emphatic and excited about it is I don't want anybody left behind. Like, I want Bitcoin to be able to change people's lives, because it will change your life. So that's one thing I know. You asked me, you know, what does the future look like? Number two, what I also know is that central banks and governments who currently have the reins of control on money printing and money supply and sort of fund their wars with money and do what they want to do, they're not going to go gently into that good night. They are going to put up a fight. And so I think we're going to see some regulatory challenges. I think that there's going to be, they're going to cloak it under the anti-money laundering laws and different things like that. But they're losing control of the capital markets, and they're losing the currency wars. And so I think you're going to see a lot of central bank digital currencies that try to compete. The problem with that is, you know, same fiat policies, same fiat masters with the same bad habits of printing money. So you're not going to have any of the benefits of actual scarcity or store of value kind of thing. Can they coexist? Maybe, probably. We'll figure out a way, right? Yeah. But they're not going to capture the store of value narrative. Bitcoin has the store of value narrative. Central bank currencies will not capture that narrative. Everybody's done. They're done with central banks. They're done with inflationary currencies. Yeah. That cat's out of the bag.
Well, and I think, like, again, looking into 20 years from now, you know, I imagine that it'll be, and I want to get to this part as far as like it being used as a form of exchange, like a normalized form of exchange. Like, right. if I go to Kroger,
an actual currency.
Right. If I go to Kroger, like, I'm not paying with my USDs, I'm paying with my BTCs, right? Like,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. So here's what I think. I think that you will probably never catch me paying for anything with Bitcoin. Never. You know, gotcha. I actually posted something in my group today where I said, you know, I was remarking about Elon Musk made an announcement that you can now buy Tesla with Bitcoin.
Right. Yep.
And I posted, I said, broke. And it broke is buying a depreciable asset with Bitcoin. Woke is creating a product that people will give you Bitcoin for. Right. Yeah. So, you know, the product creators out there, Elon is signaling to them, hey, I'm going to be taking Bitcoin. And that wasn't even the big story. The big story was what he said after. He said, and I will not be exchanging it for fiat. Right?
Yeah.
So that was his signal that I value this more than fiat. Fiat's dead and Bitcoin is the future, right? If anybody looks to Elon for anything, it's the future. He's such a visionary. He's the future, right? He sees the future. This guy's getting us to Mars, you know? So, you know, he's signaling to the world that Bitcoin is the future. Now, he's signaling it in terms of, like, he wants it as a form of payment. At some point, we may reach a singularity. We may reach a point where it becomes more stable, less volatile. The only reason it's volatile is because there's just not enough volume, right? It's still a young asset. Mm-hmm. As more capital flows in, more volume, volatility will shrink. Things will normalize. And it very well may become a unit of exchange, right? A monetary unit of exchange. It also may not. Similarly, like, it's not like I pay you in gold coins or gold bars, right? We store gold in a vault because it's store of value. We understand that. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin may just simply capture the store of value narrative. It may never become unit of exchange narrative. That's okay. We have like 9,000 other cryptocurrency coins that can capture that narrative, and they're all fighting for it, right?
Gotcha.
So one of those other tokens may capture that narrative, or the digital central bank currencies, the central bank digital currencies maybe we have like a dollar coin or a Fed coin or something like that, that like becomes the unit of exchange. Mm-hmm. Again, subject to fiat policies, subject to inflation, subject, you know, it's really just like, hey, turn your dollars into a coin. Cool. You know, right. Like it really doesn't solve anything, but okay, here we are. So we may see Bitcoin capture the unit of exchange narrative. We may not. For me, I'm not ever selling my Bitcoin. You know, yeah. there are mechanisms out there. I tend to one way on ramp my USD into Bitcoin. I'm not off ramping. And what ends up happening is there are platforms out there where I can use my Bitcoin as collateral and get a USD loan. No credit checks, no nothing. Do you have Bitcoin? Yep. Cool. We'll lend you USD. So, you know, I can. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy. Yeah. I can put up one Bitcoin as collateral. And let's pretend that one Bitcoin is worth $50,000. It's a 2-to-1 loan. It's a 50% LTV. Yep. So they'll give me $25,000 on that $50,000 USD value, right? So I can instantly access 25K in cash for whatever I need. Super low percentage, low interest rate loan. I can pay it back with no prepayment problems, and I don't trigger a taxable event, so I don't have to pay taxes on that. And it's, if I use that money for my business, it's tax deductible. So it's completely tax deductible accessing of the cash value, or half the cash value of my Bitcoin, and I don't trigger a taxable event. I don't sell it ever. I maintain, you know, it's easy, and I pay back in the future with dollars that have depreciated, but the amount is locked in. So it's a beautiful thing. It's like that, you know, if you know how to play this game, it becomes very easy and you can build wealth very, very fast.
I was going
to
say there's a brilliant tax avoidance strategy that you just kind of said there that I'm like,
oh yeah,
go back and record that for a second. Rewind that and like, wait a second here. I can, you know, if you start connecting.
I'm actually going to be teaching a masterclass on this. So tune in.
Yeah.
I'm going to be teaching a masterclass on different strategies to avoid taxes with crypto. You know, there's self-directed Bitcoin IRAs that you can trade inside of tax-free. Like there's all kinds of things you can do.
I always say if you know, either you play the tax game or the tax game will play you. Mm-hmm. So you got to make that a priority.
Absolutely.
And later this week, I have Carlotta Thompson. She's going to be talking about taxes, and that's kind of her whole thing. And so definitely taxes is something. I remember reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it was like, that was like the thing that Robert Kiyosaki.
One really of the pillars of wealth is understanding the game and mitigating as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
So let's talk about safety for a minute, because I know security, safety is certainly, you know, something that people are certainly concerned about, right? Like when it comes to, and again, it's the whole, we said this before we hit record, it's like the uneducation of it creates the fear. So let's get people educated. And I know like when I joined your group and I was going through your units, I definitely started feeling at ease because I felt like I understood how to control this asset.
How to stay safe.
Safe. So absolutely. let's talk about safety. What are some things that people need to be thinking about when it comes to getting involved in cryptocurrency safely and doing it in a way where they don't lose their tail?
So what I want people to understand is, you know, when you, let's talk about this. So crypto is decentralized, right? That's one of the central tenets of cryptocurrencies or crypto assets, is that they are decentralized and not centralized, right? Right now we have a centralized currency system where your money sits in a bank, right? You don't have all your money under your mattress at home, right? You don't have thousands of dollars sitting under your mattress. No, you have thousands of dollars in either your personal bank account, your business bank account, Stripe, wherever you've got it. It's sitting somewhere else, not with you. So you've got centralized companies or banks or whatever that require you to trust them to hold your money. And in fact, what, you know, it's not like, you know, your local bank has like a big vault and all your money sitting in there. No, what's actually happening is that those numbers you see on your screen when you look at your bank balance, that's actually just an IOU. They owe you that money. It's not actually sitting with them, right? Fractional reserve banking kind of broke the idea that all that money's actually sitting in the bank. It's not. In fact, they are allowed to lend out your $1 10 times, right? So that's what fractional reserve banking is. For every $1 you give them, they've got the ability to lend it out 10 times. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're betting on the fact that not all 10 people are going to come want that dollar back or, you know, or at once or whatever.
Yeah.
So in essence, we're trusting that they're holding our funds safe. We're trusting that all that money is there, as it were. With decentralized cryptocurrency, decentralized finance, you end up becoming your own bank, right? We talk about that concept as becoming your own bank. And so when you deal with cryptocurrency, no one else is going to safeguard it for you. You can't send it to your local bank or whatever. There are custody companies. They're quite expensive and usually high net worth individuals use them. But for the most part, the rest of us plebs, we just store our crypto on what's known as a cold storage. We call it cold because it's not connected to the internet, right? A hot wallet is a software wallet online or okay. on your computer.
Yep.
A cold wallet or a cold storage wallet is one that is kept offline. And I don't have mine in front of me, but it's basically like a little small, almost like a thumb drive. If mm-hmm. you can imagine a thumb drive, it looks similar. Small little wallet that can plug into a USB or you know, you plug it in with like a little cord and you can interact with it on your computer, but it is stored off your computer. So that is one of the safest ways to store your crypto. And mm-hmm. if you're going to be a long-term holder of crypto, then you want to make sure to invest in, you know, $50, $70, whatever it is, in a cold storage wallet, because that is the safest, right? Mm-hmm. And then you want to make sure you're keeping that wallet somewhere safe where you remember where it is, right? The dog can't bite it or break it, you know, or go bury it in the yard, or your kids can't play with it or whatever it is. So I keep mine in a safe, a fireproof, waterproof safe. You also want to, there's something known as your seed phrases or your private keys. You want to make sure to guard those with your life, because those are literally, I mean, those are the keys, right? They're not physical keys, but that passphrase or that passcode is the way you access those funds. And so you never want to share that with anybody. And frequently what ends up happening is, people will be, this is a new paradigm and they don't know how to deal with stuff. Then they're like, oh, I need help. And so they go online and ask for help and they don't know any better. And so the person on the other end that they don't know, who they've naively trusted, says, okay, we're going to go ahead and get into your wallet. Just go ahead and give me those keys and we'll access. And they end up giving their keys to someone else who ends up robbing them blind. Right. Mm. And so we've heard these awful stories mm-hmm. of people being taken advantage of when they were just looking for some help. And that's another reason I created this group, because that's highly disturbing to me. It's very, very sad. And, I don't want to see people get taken advantage of. So you have to be extremely careful. You have to be really skeptical. You have to, really know the person you're trusting or have them come with high references or something like that. But really, I think that self-custody requires some willingness to learn. You have to learn. You have to master this on your own. No one can master this for you, right? Yeah. Until we have maybe better user experience and better solutions for security and things like that. Right. Self-custody requires some learning. It's a learning curve.
So I would say that, and this is just like hearing what you're saying as far as the security of it and having that cold mm-hmm. storage, I would say if you don't have a safe, get you a safe. Like, I mean, because you never know, like your house could catch on fire, like a nice fireproof safe.
That's it.
You know what
Somebody
I mean?
Somebody can break in. I have a fireproof, waterproof safe, probably cost me $100 or something, small little thing. And I just shove my little wallets in there, lock it, done.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it should, you know, my opinion, that should almost be a requirement. Like get that with, if you don't have it, get the cold storage.
I agree. Completely protected. And don't store your coins on an exchange. Exchanges get hacked all the time, right? There's certain things that you just want to, it's just sort of etiquette and protocol to keep yourself safe. We have a saying in crypto, you know, not your keys, not your coins. Meaning if you don't have possession of the actual crypto in a wallet that you control, meaning if you've just left it on an exchange, well, it belongs to the exchange for now, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. can access it, but if they get hacked and their wallets are drained, well, guess who else gets screwed? You do, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure to keep control of your crypto as much as possible if you're not actively trading at the time.
So going into, on the same topic of safety, I think there's also something mm-hmm. to speak to in terms of let's call it acquisition philosophy, right? Like how you acquire this asset class.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there's certainly, and I'm one of them. I've done this before. I see some really cheap coin. I didn't do any research. And I'm like, you know what? I'm seeing some volatility here and I'm going to pump some money into this. And then you do.
It's
and
like you're a like, casino, baby.
It's like all on red. Spin the wheel. Let's see what happens. Right.
Exactly. And spin that wheel. Let's see. That's a really good point to bring up. So, I mean, here's the deal. The current situation that we were talking about before with all the money printing and the governments and this, that, and the other, I mean, at this point, the banks are going to make you pay them, they're not offering any yield on anything, right? Have you looked at your savings account rate? It's like 0.02% or something.
It doesn't change.
It's hysterical. it's ridiculous. I actually had somebody post in another group of mine where he was like, oh my gosh, I've had $400 in this account for 30 days. And this is a high yield savings account. I literally earned two cents. I was cracking up. I was like, oh, this is hysterical. He's like, this is my high yield savings account. Right. So that's the state of things, right?
Yeah.
So to keep up with inflation that we talked about, which is just raging out of control right now, to keep up with this, it has forced us to get more and more loose with our like our risk tolerance has had to we're looking for riskier and riskier bets. Why? Because we have to. We've been forced into this.
Yeah.
So it's why everybody's YOLOing on the stock market. It's why everybody's YOLOing in crypto, because there's nothing else out there that's like accessible as an asset class to the common person to actually like get exposure to strong yields.
Yeah.
So that's number one. So what ends up happening is people come in with this like risk appetite and they see all these shiny tokens and they're so cheap and it's so exciting and it's like a big arcade, right? And the problem is that there's a lot of us who've been in this world for a long time and we're a lot smarter than you are, meaning we know how to take advantage of you. And there are a lot of whales out there. We call them whales. Whales are people with a lot of crypto. They have a lot of money. And what ends up happening is they know how to manipulate markets. And crypto, particularly altcoin markets, are very easy to manipulate. Why? Because there's not a lot of volume. So you come in as a whale, you may own 40% of that entire token volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've been accumulating. And you can come in there, bam, smash prices, drop them as low as humanly possible. Everybody freaks out and sells you what? More cheap tokens. And now you control more of the supply. And then what do? You start, you can literally start, you can almost start like a buying front run and start the token spiking, right? You and your friends, you can get that token spiking. Everybody is like, oh my God, it's going up. It's going to the moon. This is amazing. And so what happens? All the noobs come running in like you. Oh, look, shiny, red. Look at the green candles. And they start throwing money. And then what do they do? Like they run it up. And again, boom, once again, that whale comes in, drops the price. You freak out and you sell all your tokens to who? Him. Right? These guys have been playing this game a long time.
Yeah.
They've been robbing noobs for the last 10 years in this game, or not 10, but so altcoins have really only been around 2016, 2017 with the F of Ethereum. So, but long enough for them to learn how to play this game and rob you blind. So playing with altcoins is a losing game if you don't know what you're doing, right? I've literally just launched a paid group. So I have this amazing free group over here, but I've literally just launched a paid group. It starts Monday. We haven't even closed the cart, but it starts Monday. The sole purpose is to keep people safe because, you know, as much as I tell people, look, just buy Bitcoin. You're going to get over 200% a year. Like, don't be greedy. Don't be, you know, but of course people don't hear that. They want to be greedy. They want to play in the arcade. It's like, okay, fine. You know what? We're going to launch this paid group and I'm going to teach you step by step by step how to freaking be safe in this market and how to actually invest in tokens that aren't scams, in tokens that aren't, you know, just outright ridiculous and pump and dump schemes, that kind of stuff. So really trying to just help people stay safe in this in this market, and it's rather complex, and you got to learn how to play the game.
Otherwise, you can correct. I know this isn't Bitcoin related, but it makes me think of the GameStop situation
and how the
Reddit, the people on Reddit were like, oh, okay, well, so y'all keep on doing what you're doing. We're going to get you back. And I was like, yeah, like
it was amazing. I was cheering Wall Street Bets on from the sidelines like crazy. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but that's good to know.
It's nice when the minnows can get together and fight the whales.
I know. But it's good to know that. I think like you sharing that, I think a lot of people probably didn't realize that that's something that can go on and not just Bitcoin, but a lot of assets, stocks.
I mean, a lot of the markets are manipulated. In fact, I would go so far as to say all the markets are manipulated at some level. You should know that as you play. It's just easier to spot and more pronounced due to the lack of volume in smaller markets. You can see it, when you see these massive, I mean, just dead coins, just dead. There's just nothing going on with this coin for 2 years. And then all of a sudden it goes, and then drops. That's a classic pump and dump. It was a coordinated move by a couple of whales who own a lot of coins. And everybody got excited and went and chased that green candle because they thought, Moon Lambo, here we come. And then they got wrecked, right, when the price dropped.
Yeah. It's the whole like acting on fear or greed,
just fear and greed.
It's just fear and greed and you see things and you react and way that you really teach and the way that you help people is to be more educated, objective, and stable in those decisions. And if you can do that and be smart about it and not emotionally reactive.
We invest for the long term.
Right, exactly.
We're not playing casino games. Yeah. No, we're investing for the long term, absolutely.
It's kind of like, who was it? Somebody was, I remember speaking to a friend of mine. He was like, because we were talking about trading stocks. He's like, just go to Vegas if you're going to bet. So much more fun out there. I was like, that's true.
It's almost true. It's literally like, the drinks are probably stronger. The girls are prettier, than Chris. Go to Vegas. Yeah.
Just go to Vegas. I mean, if you're going to bet, may as well just go to Vegas and have fun. You get free drinks.
The house always wins anyway, either way. I know.
You're not going to win. So unless you're Rain Man and know how to count cards, and then they come and get you.
Exactly.
Well, this is awesome.
And I would say that's a great comparison to most altcoins. I mean, my saying is, 90% of altcoins are really just trash. 10% will take you to the moon. The alpha lies in knowing how to differentiate, and most people don't know how to differentiate, and that's how they get wrecked. So that's the difference.
Yes. And real quick, just so people understand, what is an altcoin?
An altcoin is an alternative coin. It is anything that is not Bitcoin.
Anything but Bitcoin.
Anything that is not Bitcoin.
Okay. Yep.
Anything that is not Bitcoin is an altcoin by definition.
Gotcha.
And that includes, some of the larger ones, right? Ethereum being sort of the second kind of most known coin. That is an altcoin.
Gotcha.
But any coin that is not Bitcoin is technically an altcoin.
Bitcoin.
They are also called tokens or cryptocurrencies or crypto assets. There's, different nomenclature for them.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, Alex, this has been amazing. I just really appreciate the conversation. So fun chatting with you. I'm glad that we were able to make these arrangements, get you on the podcast. And for anybody listening right now, definitely encourage you to go and join Alex's Facebook group. I'm in there. It's a Crypto Chill Lounge. I'm telling you too, by the way, a little side note here on the Facebook group. It's so active that when I log into Facebook, I see your Chill Lounge come up more than any other post. and it's just like, seriously, it comes up this thing is a pretty wild group.
There's so much participation in there. People are always just posting and excited. And if I drop something, people are wild. It's just, there's a lot of excitement in the market right now. And I think that's part of it. It's a topic that's really captured people's imagination, but it's a very active group. I love that about it. I have so much fun in there, and I just love seeing people take action and get wins and grow, really just personally grow. So it's cool.
Well, and I love it. It's great. And for anybody, unless you have a vanity URL, I guess just go to Facebook and type in Crypto Chill Lounge.
It's actually facebook.com/groups/CryptoChillLounge. You can literally just type in Crypto Chill Lounge. I'll come right up.
Perfect. And also too, because I have, a blog post that will have everything with this interview there. Sweet. And I will have a direct link to that group in the blog post. So
very cool.
If you just go to introspectivepodcast.com/AlexElliott, that's A-L-E-X, ELLIOT. That will take you straight to that page and you'll get the direct link there as well. So you got plenty of roads to get to the chill lounge here. All roads lead to the chill lounge. So that is it. And is there any, and one last thing, just because I want to touch on this just for a minute. Tell me about this pay group, because I think it's something also need to know, like how else they can get support.
Sure. So basically, you know, the concept of the free group was, I really just wanted to give complete dead noobs like this on-ramp, right? I wanted to give them this opportunity to come in a safe place to learn, to ask questions. No question is stupid. Like, I'll really just get the support that they need in a safe environment, because we all know, like, crypto can be creepy out there, right? I joke, this is like the most non-creepy crypto group on Facebook, right? Or anywhere.
Yeah.
So you come in, you can learn, you can ask questions, you can buy your first Bitcoin, you know, all that stuff. You can set up a dollar cost averaging strategy. We help you with that. You know, I had somebody, they asked for help setting up a Bitcoin IRA, you know, I helped her set up a Bitcoin IRA. So like, we're really helping people kind of take their first steps into this space and get comfortable. But like I said, everybody, you know, it's just the natural progression of things. Everybody gets into Bitcoin and they're like, okay, what's next? What's next? Right. And so I saw that and I thought, okay, I need to help people do this safely, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's you, I'm just going to speak right to your audience right now. If that's you, if you're like, okay, yeah, I'm already into Bitcoin. Like, I got that. I'm cool. I've actually already purchased a couple of alts, but maybe I got wrecked on some of them, or yeah, I got my lunch handed to me and I wish I knew how to do this safely. Like, I just don't even know how to evaluate coins, right? Like, what's a crap token? What's a good project? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people find themselves in that space because it takes a long time to do your due diligence. It's really hard. And researching is a skill and there's a lot of criteria. So basically I'm going to be walking people through my personal investment criteria. You know, I have a couple of frameworks I'm going to give them for how to evaluate tokens. And what we're going to do is every single week, we are going to drop a gorgeous hidden gem that we have discovered that has, you know, I was talking to my co-founder of this project, and we're looking at tokens that have got anywhere from a 3x to 100x potential, right? Gotcha. That's really our sweet spot. Okay. So, and there's more of them out there than you know. So one per week, we're going to do a very heavy deep dive. We're going to present you all the research, all the investment criteria. And then it's up to you, the participant, to go, okay, cool. That's something I can get down with. You know, maybe it's in a space like gaming and you're like a big gamer and you're like, yeah, I can totally see the application of that token. I'm all in, right? And like, that'll be something you want to invest in. Or the following week, it might be in, NFTs, right? The NFT space, which is really hot right now, the non-fungible token space. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm an artist. I totally get NFTs. Like, I'm down with that, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll be something that somebody else invests in. So we're going to be looking at just really undervalued projects that are solid, that are not rug pulls, as we call them, or like scam coins. And just presenting our research, and in doing so, presenting also our criteria. So we were like, you know, we're not looking to make people dependent on us. We're looking to foster independence. So we want to teach people to fish, not just give them fish. So our hope is that within 90 days, you're as good or better than us at this, right? Mm-hmm. You could go out there and you can evaluate your own tokens. You don't need us anymore, right? You're free to hang around. Like, we'd love to have you, but you don't need to hang around after 90 days. We really want to empower people, to become educated crypto investors and earn the kind of life-changing money that my co-founder and I have learned and really just set themselves free, because the opportunity is right there. You just got to know how to do it. Right. Mm. So that's what we're doing. And if anybody's interested, it's the offer's not even up yet. Like, we don't even have a website. Like, we literally just made the offer on you.
I'm kidding.
Shame on us. We just launched Imperfectly. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, we just decided to take massive Imperfect action. We just were like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just launch. Just let's do it. So we launched with a Facebook post and a Bitcoin address. And here we are. And so it's in a private Facebook group and we have a private Telegram channel, and we're going to be delivering everything through there. And the offer right now is actually inside the announcements tab of my current Facebook group, the free Facebook group. So if anybody's interested in joining the Facebook group, check out the announcements tab. You can join anytime. We would be thrilled to have you and support you really in your growth as a crypto investor.
And, you know, I think if I remember correctly, with Facebook groups, you can actually link directly to an announcement, right? And they're like a special URL.
I can give you that link if you'd like. Sure.
Yeah, because I can do is on your blog page, I can actually put a direct link there as well. So
that's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah, so we can do that for you.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Until you get your stinking website up,
Until we get our funnel set up. We're working on it. Yeah, we just launched Imperfectly. We're like, you know what? We had too many people asking about it. And I was like, all right, just forget formalities. Let's just do this thing.
Well, we'll end on that because, I'll say just on this lesson here, like that's how you do it, right? Like people get too caught up in perfection and feeling like, you know, and I'm joking around here, but it is true. People get caught up in perfection. You've got to just take the action, get it out there and let it evolve as it should. And
that's it.
That's the way to do it. So thank you so much for this. This has been amazing.
What a fun conversation. And, I'm glad we got to talk.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and I appreciate everything you're doing and your heart to serve and really creating a safe space for people that they feel that it's approachable. And that's certainly, I think, what really gravitated me towards your community and everything you're doing. It's like, I felt like I wasn't being manipulated or twisted and turned. Like I felt like, no, like this is actually a place where there is a heart here, there is care here. And that makes me feel like I'm in the right space for learning about cryptocurrency, you know, something that's foreign to me and anybody else that's listening right now. Definitely go check that out. So thank you for bringing this to the world.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's a passion project of mine and I'm just thrilled. I just, every person that I can kind of introduce to this is one more convert and it's a beautiful thing. I love it.
For sure. Well, everybody listening, thank you. We are kicking off this Monday with Financial Freedom Week. We just had an amazing conversation with Alex about cryptocurrency, and definitely let me know, you know, what your takeaways were. Let's stay connected and let's continue on this journey for Financial Freedom Week. And I will see you on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.